A new survey shows that a majority of Americans support voter ID, but they also want to make early voting easier. The poll from Monmouth University found that 80% say you should have to show a photo ID when voting. That includes nearly all Republicans and independents and most Democrats. 71% say in-person early voting needs to be made easier. That includes virtually all Democrats, most independents, and a little more than half of Republicans. So there's some rare bipartisanship on those issues, but not when it comes to voting by mail. There are Democrats strongly support it. Republicans strongly oppose it. We want to hear where you stand at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about voter ID, in-person, absentee, or early voting, voting by mail, other proposals? Should these things be made easier? Should voting be a little more restricted? Do you support some kind of national guidelines for things like mail-in voting and in-person early voting? And do you feel confident about the integrity of Wisconsin's elections and federal elections? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Philip Chet is Assistant Professor of Political Science at Beloit College. Phil, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, according to the survey anyway, there's a fair amount of people out there who support both photo ID and making early voting easier. Usually we divvy those up by parties. Does that surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me terribly much. Early voting, it's a little bit of a newer topic, and that's why I think you see not quite as much sort of generalized support for it. But, photo ID requirements have always enjoyed a fairly high level of support among the public. It's a little surprising to see, a majority of Democrats supporting it, but it's a fairly popular proposal and has been for some time.
Have we seen public opinion change much on the voter ID issue as state by state has these sort of political battles about it and then ends up, in many cases, like in Wisconsin, passing some kind of voter ID requirement?
I think what we've seen over time is less like a major shift in it. I think it's always been, for the general public who doesn't know a lot about the specific requirements and the research into photo ID requirements, it tends to be, it makes sense, right? The average voter says, okay, well, most people have a photo identification. They say, okay, I have one. I'm going to support this. But we have seen that it's become a little bit more partisan. So that Republicans, as the Monmouth poll shows, Republicans and independents are highly supportive, and Democrats are much more mixed on it.
And there's always the cases of people who don't have a voter ID. And that's where Democrats in particular raise concern, often seniors or maybe students, people who one reason or another don't drive, for example.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a concern that has been raised frequently with when these bills are brought up in various legislatures. Now, the political science evidence is much more mixed on this, and it's hard to disentangle the exact root effect of photo identification laws, largely because they're often met with strong counter-mobilization efforts, so that when a state passes them, there are organizations that go into communities where there are low levels of identification and work to get people signed up and get their identifications. So it's hard to sort of separate out in a sort of world where the law is passed and nothing else happens. Yeah, they probably end up reducing turnout. But we do see this kind of counter mobilization so that we may actually see increases in the numbers of people who hold valid identification.
Okay, also with broad popularity, as I mentioned, early in-person voting, in-person absentee voting, people call it different things, but the idea that you can go somewhere, show up before Election Day, and cast a ballot. This seems, at least according to this survey, Phil, pretty popular.
Yeah, and it is fairly popular. I think, again, this is one of those things that doesn't seem particularly troubling to most people. It sounds like, oh, well, you go to your polling location or your county clerk and you fill out your ballot. And so these are the kind of proposals that are met with public support because they don't, they haven't been largely polarized along partisan lines, and they sort of pass the face validity test. Like, oh, that makes sense, right? We're going to go in, we're going to vote in a spot. they can check my ID, they can do all of those kinds of things. So that one does not surprise me either, that there's large support for that.
Talking to Phil Chen from Beloit College about various changes, potential changes in American voting and where they stand in surveys. A couple items not in the survey, Phil, because they're Wisconsin-specific. State Assembly Republicans passed some election-related bills. One would prevent election clerks from filling in missing information on absentee ballot paperwork. This is for witness addresses. So this is something that there was guidance in 2016 from the state's main election bureau saying, yes, clerks can do this. If you have a witness name and signature, they didn't complete their address. If you could fill out that information, you can. Republicans say, nope, don't do that anymore. This got some attention here in the 2020 election. How big a deal is this?
You know, I haven't seen the exact numbers to know how often this happens. But again, this is one of those things where I think is probably my guess is that this is a more of a political issue than a true sort of election security issue, that people are, by and large, filling out their absentee ballots and their witness statements well. And so, again, I don't have the exact numbers, but my guess is that this is more about continuing the conversation and keeping the idea of election security in voters' minds than it is actually about, a widespread problem with absentee ballots in Wisconsin.
Well, that's just one change passed by lawmakers, likely to be vetoed by Governor Evers. I want to give a listen to Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss before the floor votes on these issues.
The goal is to make sure at the end of the day that every single person has the chance to vote, but that we guarantee that the confidence in the election, which has been severely undermined by the actions of a few over the course of the last election cycle, hopefully are a thing of the past.
So severe undermining of confidence in elections, Phil. What do you make of that part of the statement?
You know, I would have to respectfully disagree with that. The political science evidence suggests that the way that election laws are structured, specifically voter identification laws, don't seem to have any effect on voters' overall confidence in the elections or in the perceptions of fraud. So Steve Ansaldo-Behar, Nathan Persily, and Charles Stewart have done a number of studies on this that show that in states with higher levels or with stricter voter identification laws, there's no correlation with increased confidence in the elections or in decreased perceptions of fraud. What does drive that is partisanship. And so, honestly, I just don't think that, that doesn't ring true to me in what the evidence suggests.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Waukesha. John, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Just a comment on the topic. I think, photo IDs are a strong deterrent to fraud. And that is the reason we need one when we board an airplane and for other forms of identification. Typically, we encounter, some people in these debates who deny that there's voter fraud, which to me is like denying that the world is round. And then you find people who say, yes, but you're going to disenfranchise people. And after all, it's only probably a few fraudulent votes. I'd remind the latter group that it only takes a few votes, many, many elections. Even think about Florida, Gore versus Bush, are turned on just a few votes. And that's why we need to put the rhetoric aside. And if the issue is people having a difficult time getting a photo ID, then let's put efforts into getting them a photo ID.
John, thanks a lot for the call. Phil, he sums up the argument pretty nicely there. If we can prevent any fraud, great. Not a big deal since we need ID for a lot of other purposes in life.
And that's a very common attitude towards voter ID laws. Now, I'm not a proponent on either side, but I can say that the evidence, the political science evidence says that voter ID laws don't reduce fraud, that we don't see lower levels of fraud or lower rates of fraud in states with strict voter ID laws than in states that don't have them. And so the laws themselves, the photo ID laws themselves don't seem to have this effect on lowering voter fraud. And I think a large reason for that is that when we look into the cases of quote unquote voter fraud, they're almost always accidental cases. The vast, vast majority of what is already a rare occurrence are people who say, you know, maybe older people who have voted by, you know, absentee and then forgot and then went and voted in person as well. So we do not, the evidence, you know, John is right in saying, you know, his concern is with, you know, preventing any fraud, but the evidence does not suggest that photo ID laws actually reduce fraud, that we just don't have any evidence that suggests that that's the case.
We're talking about new developments on voting related issues. A new poll from Monmouth University says 80% support of photo ID requirements for voters. 71% want to make in-person early voting easier. Republicans in the U.S. Senate, meanwhile, blocked a big voting rights bill, and the state assembly recently passed some election bills. Phil Chen is with us, assistant professor of political science at Beloit College, and you can join in with your thoughts on these issues at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls. Pete is with us in Menominee Falls. Pete, hello.
Hello. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Pete?
Well, I am in favor of having voter ID, some form of ID. We got free Wisconsin IDs for anyone, a state ID. I don't think the fraud is the same problem that other person was talking about, particularly, because I think people make mistakes, and I think that's what's triggering the vast majority of those issues. However, I have a totally different solution for 70 or 80% of the population, we could vote online. We already register online, send in our IDs, have a secure site where we can see our voting activity. We can see when we voted, how often we voted. One thing we can't do is securely look at how we voted, what our ballot looked like on a particular election. But that could easily be added to the system. Now, with that said, if I voted online, took care of it the day or two before, or took care of it the day of the election, they cut me off the 8 o'clock on the election night. I can't change it anymore. It becomes read only. Nobody else can change the vote on the site. I can look it up. I can see what I voted. 2 days later, I can still look and see if somebody's tampering with my vote. Now that turns everyone into an investigator of their own vote, totally securing the election and totally giving everyone confidence who can go online. Now that means there's a digital divide for people who can't do it that way, but there still are all the other ways of doing it. But imagine how much you could lower the volume of in-person voting. Or even mail-in voting.
Just briefly, Pete, people would worry, I think, about the lack of a paper trail. Like, there's no physical thing that you can go back to and double check that vote. Is that a worry for you?
When you do it online, the system prints your ballot that goes in with all the other paper ballots. The system prints a ballot when you finally vote. You say, I'm done. That's my vote. Clear, click, set it in. The system, the voting system online, produces a ballot.
Pete, I gotcha. Phil, what do you think? Automate online the whole voting system.
I hate to burst Pete's bubble. This is a popular, people love the idea of online voting. And I'm not a cybersecurity expert, but the warnings from cybersecurity experts on online voting say that we are decades away from having that as a possibility, largely because even though we can securely do things like banking, banking is not anonymized. And so the fact that we have to do that, that our votes are completely anonymous, there's no way that we can tie a specific ballot to a specific voter under the rules of our elections. And so there's a real concern with, if you take away that, you know, if you tie it to people's votes, then we no longer have anonymous voting or voting that is not tied to specific voters. And if you connect it, and if you don't connect it, then it's a system that's incredibly ripe for fraud, for hackers, not for, you know, the fraud that we think of, but for people to hack into the system and change votes. And so, you know, as much as it seems like an attractive option, the people who do this for a living say that we are a long, long ways off from being able to do this securely.
And thanks a lot for that call. And Phil, some of the election conspiracy theories about 2020 hinge on Hugo Chavez somehow led hacking efforts, or China, or Italians using defense satellites. But those are all easily debunked by states that have done physical recounts of the actual physically marked ballots that wouldn't be touched by that kind of hacking. So that gives us that element of security from that kind of thing, right?
Right, exactly. So there's that kind of level of security. There's also one of sort of the inadvertent advantages of the way American elections are run. We run our elections in a very decentralized manner. So in order to hack in and change votes, you wouldn't, there isn't a centralized system with which you hack into. You would have to literally go into individual county computer systems to change the votes. It's such a, because we're so decentralized, it's such a massive undertaking that we just haven't seen this. And there's no evidence that this has happened. Two, as you said, recounts have shown that this is simply not the case.
Let's go back to our callers now. Ron is with us in Madison. Ron, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. By the way, I am a cybersecurity expert. I agree it's at least two decades away before we are anywhere close to that. But my basic question is, and comment is simply that the definition that you're using for fraud, and everybody seems to use for fraud, is not what most people are assuming fraud is. Everybody seems to be assuming that what people who have think the elections were fraudulent or lack confidence in them is saying that Joe Smith went in and voted and it wasn't Joe Smith, or it was somebody other pretending to be Joe Smith, or Joe Smith made a mistake on his ballot. What we're trying to say is that fraud means that there's influence being peddled. And this is no different than it was when Lyndon Johnson won an election in Texas that is relatively famously grouped with paying people from one area, loading them on a bus for $2, going down to vote, and voting, using their real name, using their real IDs, so it's not fraud, quote, but it is influence. And that's what we're seeing happening around the country is influence. When a city like Madison opens up parks and allows polling representatives from the Democratic Party to be in that park when people are voting, is fraud. It's no difference than any other type of influence peddling.
Why is that fraud? So, are people being paid in that instance, are you saying, Ron?
No, but you know what? It isn't a matter of money. There's multiple different ways to compensate people, but also multiple different ways to influence people. People are influenced by signs, by rhetoric, by people talking at them, by things that they see around them. If they're allowed to be approached, there are reasons we have at physical polls rules about how far away signs, campaign propaganda for either side are close to that polling area.
I got you, Ron. Thanks a lot for the call. Phil, that's kind of an expanded definition of fraud. What do you think?
So I think what Ron is getting at is something around the park drop boxes. And again, so this is one of the concerns I think that people might have with absentee balloting is that because it's done in your home, it removes some of the protections that we put around polling places. That being said, it's, you know, what I would say is that we know that there are lots and lots of influences on individuals, on voters. And we don't generally, at least in academia, consider those influences fraudulent unless they break laws. And so, you know, I think what Ron is saying is that there were, you know, certain representatives from maybe there was people from different parties, you know, holding signs or something like that. Again, I don't know the specific reporting on that. I haven't seen the evidence of that, but my guess is because of the nature of the way that drop boxes are staffed and things like that. Similar to polling places, my assumption is that you need at least one person from both Republican and Democratic Party. We likely would have seen some formal complaints launched and some more investigation from the state election commission and things like that.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Ron. Phil, we just have a minute or so left. What are you watching for next? What's the big issue you have your eye on for voting-related reforms?
So I think what I'm looking for at the state levels, I think I've said this before, I'm looking to see what states with unified control do, both what Democratic states do in expanding access and Republican states do in their efforts to you know, prevent quote unquote fraud. And so those, I think, are going to set the boundaries for what the political parties are looking to do. And then I'm also interested at the federal level, whether there's any ability, and it looks like the answer currently is no, for some of these bipartisan election reforms that Senator Manchin has been talking about, whether there's any opportunity to sort of form a bipartisan coalition in the Senate. Looks like the answer is no, but, you know, things might change.
Phil, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
Philip Chen is an assistant professor of political science at Beloit College. We talked to them today about voter ID, mail-in voting, and other potential voting changes in the works in Wisconsin and or around the country. A new poll from Monmouth University shows that 80% of Americans polled support photo ID to vote. 71% say early voting needs to be made easier.